There was a loving husband who wanted to do something special for his wife during the holidays, especially when the kids were off of school, and these were high-energy kids. And partly because of that, when his wife was off shopping and he was in charge of these two busy youngsters, he sat them down in front of the computer and had them peruse the flower arrangements on the website of the local florist. Then he went away and let them look through those flowers and pick something out. Finally, they said, "Dad, we've got one, just the right one." He took a casual look at that, looked nice. It was in their price range, and so he hit the purchase button on the computer and didn't think much more of it. Well, the next day, the kids were home, and Mom went to the door, and when the delivery man came with this beautiful bouquet of flowers, she unwrapped that, and she was a bit shocked. The kids were all excited. He said, Mom, just see what we picked out for you. And she looked at the banner across the arrangement, and it said, "Rest in peace." And with a worried look on her face, she said, "So why did you choose this arrangement?" The older girl had just learned how to read, and she said, "Well, Mom, you're always telling us if I could only have 5 minutes of peace, I could get some rest." Rest in peace. Well, this morning, we want to discover how Jesus came into our world so that we could experience His perfect peace. His perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3, our theme verse for today. "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." You know, peace among human kingdoms and countries is usually achieved by becoming more powerful than your enemies and then subduing them. There's a great contrast between this kind of worldly peace and God's perfect peace, both in the way it's achieved and in its results. This series is called Gifts of the Incarnation. And as I said before, that is a fancy word that just means God coming in flesh, and describes Jesus, the eternal Son of God, entering our world and putting on our flesh and blood, becoming fully human, so that we could experience His love, joy, peace, salvation. Let's open our Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 15, as we discover God's method of bringing to us perfect peace. If you don't have a Bible of your own, grab the one in the pew rack in front of you. That page number is listed in your bulletin. So turn to Colossians chapter 1 to discover God's method of bringing to us His perfect peace. Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 15, I read in Jesus' name. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the incarnation of Your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank You that He came to us, humbled Himself to become obedient, not just to the point of taking on our human flesh, but to the point of giving his life, shedding his blood on a cross. Oh Lord, help us to understand this strange way of bringing peace, this sacrificial way of giving to us your perfect peace. And Lord, help us to understand it and how it will apply in our lives. And then, Lord, how we may become peacemakers. In Jesus' name, amen. In our world, peace comes through gaining control over a situation to remove any obstacles or impediments to conflict, to peace and tranquility. That's our human way of doing things. Get all those obstacles out of the way. Jesus already had all authority. He had all control over all things. It tells us in this passage that we just read, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers and authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He was head over everything. He could have brought an end to any hostility just by dominating us. He already was in control of all things. And from a human point of view, to bring peace is to control the situation, to end hostilities, to end anything that would keep things from being nice and tranquil. But God doesn't do it that way. Just the very opposite of what we would attempt to do to bring peace. Of course, human beings don't bring perfect peace. They just bring some level of provisional peace. In this passage, we have this beautiful illustration of God's incarnation. For in him, in Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in human form. Jesus, as I said, already had all authority and control over all things. He did not bring peace by asserting his sovereign authority over all things, but by demonstrating his incomparable love. Not by coming in power, but in coming in extreme humility. Philippians chapter 2 tells us about that. Verse 5 says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in a book called God is in the Manger, said this, who among us will celebrate Christmas correctly? It is whoever finally lays down all power, all honor, all reputation, all vanity, all arrogance, all individualism, lay it down beside the manger. Whoever remains lowly and lets God alone be high, whoever looks at the child in the manger and sees the glory of God precisely in his lowliness. It is only when we see God in his extreme humility that we can begin to understand how low we need to bow if we're really going to honor this Christ child. To worship Christ at Christmas, we must bow before him. And how do we bow before someone who has made themselves so low, a baby in a manger? Only as we empty ourselves of every proud thought, every accomplishment, every position, every bit of reputation, and perceive self-righteousness, lay it all before Jesus. He brought peace in the very opposite way the world tries to bring peace. Instead of trying to control the situation, instead of trying to bring more power to the situation, Jesus just simply emptied himself. And what did he do? Dietrich Bonhoeffer goes on to say this: Jesus Christ lived in the midst of his enemies. At the end, all his disciples deserted him. On the cross, he was utterly alone, surrounded by evildoers and mockers. But it was for this cause he had come, to bring peace to the enemies of God. You know, the Bible tells us that we were God's enemies. It says, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Romans 5:10. And so what is God's method? What did God do? How did God address this war-torn, conflict-ridden, anxiety-filled world that we live in? How was God going to address all of that and bring perfect peace? So God's answer to this war and conflict and sin in our world, the anxiousness that we all experience, was sending his Son to reconcile to himself all things, making peace by the blood of his cross. I scarcely can imagine God emptying himself, putting himself in the midst of his enemies, allowing them to have control over him, all in order to bring his perfect peace. God's answer was to send his Son. For to us a child is born, for to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. But you know, there's always a price to be paid for peace. And Jesus paid the horrific price for peace. Among earthly kingdoms and countries, peace comes by vanquishing your enemy at great cost of blood and treasure. Jesus brought peace not by vanquishing his enemies, but by loving them. Jesus brought peace by not subduing his enemies, but allowing his enemies to subdue him, and then to conquer our hearts by his overwhelming love. He did not come with overwhelming force to subdue us, but with overwhelming love to woo us, to draw us to himself in love. And because Jesus paid the price for peace, he will reign forever as the Prince of Peace. There was the promise of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 7:14, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which is just the Hebrew for God with us. And what was prophesied as a promise, as a sign in Isaiah 7:14, in Isaiah 9:6 that was read this morning, we see the end of that prophecy. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And it goes on to say, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. You know, we're not seeing that right now, are we? We're not seeing an end to conflict. We're in the middle still of hostilities between nations, hostilities between groups of people. We see it in our nation today, how divided we are, how much anger there is, how much anxiety there is. Jesus came to win our hearts first. And so he comes as the Prince of Peace to us individually. And where Jesus reigns, where he is present, there is peace. And so if Jesus comes and is Prince of Peace in your heart, there in your heart you have peace. The Bible tells us that because we are justified by faith, because we have put our trust in Jesus, as he's come to be our Lord and Savior and live in our hearts, we have peace with God. And then it goes on to say, if we have peace with God, that he reigns in us and through us so that we can have peace with one another. that we can have peace in our own soul, that calm, tranquility, assurance, that calmness that you talked about, Haley, of being still and calm, be still before the Lord, that we can experience that kind of peace. Of his peace and the increase of his government, there will be no end. And so Jesus came into this world to bring his kingdom. His kingdom is broken into this world to reign in us and to through us to spread to other people. And so that this kingdom of peace will continue to increase until he comes again and he'll reign completely and forever. The presence of peace. So Jesus came as the Prince of Peace. How do we experience that peace? We experience it through the presence of Jesus in our life. What did Jesus say? John 14:27. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. God gives us his perfect peace through Jesus Christ. My peace I give to you. Jesus said, in the world you will have conflict. In me you will have peace. Take heart, I have overcome the world. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. What does that say? Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So in Jesus, there is peace. And without Jesus, we won't experience peace. Any peace on this earth is always fragile, always temporary. But Jesus, in his perfect peace, is a permanent peace that is with us always. So what are some symptoms of that perfect peace? We're going to end with this. Symptoms of God's perfect peace. An unmistakable ability to enjoy each moment as a gift from God. A noticeable loss of interest in engaging in conflict, criticism, and control. Frequent, overwhelming episodes of appreciation. God's perfect peace means a loss of interest in judging other people. Contented feelings of connectedness with God and others and the beauty of God's creation. Spontaneous bursts of praise and thanksgiving to God. An increased capacity to give and receive love. How about this one? You know you have God's perfect peace when you have a loss of the ability to worry. Or a noticeable trust that God is working in all things for my good and for his glory. The Bible says, may the Lord of peace give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. My words were far from perfect. But your word, O Heavenly Father, is powerful. Help us to put our trust in your word and to receive your perfect peace. For you keep those in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast, whose mind is stayed on you, focused on you, filled with you. For he trusts in you. Father, may we put our trust and confidence in you and receive this gift of perfect peace through our perfect Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. And may we share that peace with others. In Jesus' name, amen.